Yeah.
All right, so we left off yesterday. Kuf Mem Gimel and Beis Shabbos. With the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, about the Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Right? That Rav learns it's straight. That the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing on every case. From Zesim and Anavim down to Shar Peros. And Shmuel holds that they're only arguing on Tusim V'Rimonim. Right? Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda would agree by Zesim and Anavim that the Mashkin is Asur. And they would agree by the Shar Peros, certainly if you put them away the Ochlin, then the Mashkin is Mutter. But they're going to disagree on the on a middle case of Zaysen of Rimonim, Tusim Rimonim, that some people do juice. Okay, so the question is, can we define the Machlokas Tanoim according to Rav and Shmuel? How are they viewing it differently? The difficulty in this whole sugya is to distinguish between the reason for the gzera and the actual gzera itself, right? And the Rishonim, and a lot of times are expressing in terms of motivation, like are we worried for this? Are we worried for that? But there also has to be an actual formulation, and when they're arguing about whether you're worried for one thing or the other thing. That's just explaining why they chose one formulation over another. But you can't formulate a worry. You can't formulate a worry. You have to formulate a gzera. Okay? And that's clearly seen from the fact that the beitza is included. The beitza is going to be included sort of inadvertently. Even though it definitely is not part of any chshash. Right? So let's just review quickly then. This was what the Ramban was explaining that we were doing yesterday. That, let's just go over it one more time quickly. That what? That according to, question is, our Gemara in Beitza says that Rabbi Yitzchak holds the Beitza would be included in the Isser of Mashkin Shazaru, right? So the Ramban says, I mean, his main answer, that he thinks is the better answer, is that's only possible according to who? The sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak, that the Beitza is usher because of Mashkin Shazavu, the Ramban concludes, is only possible according to who? What? The Rabbanan, according to? What? Well, I don't know what you think Rav holds, but Rav is not one of our guys here. The one that what? I can't hear you saying. You mean Rav. That they agree by Sharp Arrow?
No, it was the third position.
No, it's the opposite way. It's only going to be according to the Rabbanon if you hold that they disagree by Sharp Arrows. Right? As according to the Ramban, when Rabbi Yitzchak said that the Beitza is usher because of Mashkin Shazavu, he says that only works out if you're going to hold like the Rabbanon, right? According to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, who say that the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in every case. Meaning that even in a case like Shar Peros, which people don't squeeze for juices, if the, and you put it away for achila, and mashkin dripped out of it, it would still be usur. That's the only svara that's going to include the beitza. He had a different possibility, but he concluded saying, that's the way that makes the most sense to him. Why? Because according to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the machlokus between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is very drastic. Is a drastic difference, right? According to the Rabbanan, it's the way we formulated it in Beitza. It's the broadest formulation of the Isser. That they were gozer on that which was produced through a process of excretion. Right? It was Mashkin Shezavu means that they were very worried even by Sharperos or whatever the concern was. They were worried even by Sharperos that people would make juice. But Sharperos don't really have a shame Mashkin. They don't really have a shame of a Mashka. Because a Mashka is a drink. A Mashka doesn't mean a liquid. A Mashka means a drink. So people don't drink those things normally. But they were worried. Their worry was great, and they wanted to include even Mashkin Shezavu Mishar Peros, right? So the way they had to formulate the Gzera was anything that was produced through an excretion. So Memela, since the liquid of Shar Peros does not really have a Shem Mashka anyway, that's why they had to make their Gzera so inclusive. And it would even include a Beitza. Right? But you could learn like this. But for Rabbi Yehuda, he made his gzera only on what? Only on Hashem Mashke itself. That's a simple way to learn. That's the simplest way to learn the machlokas. That according to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is whether you formulate the gzera by the process of the squeezing, of excretion, right? And then it's going to include Shar Peros and Beitzim, right? Or was the Gzera only on a Mashke per se, something that has the quality to the person as a drink? So then you can learn according to Rav, it's there's a chilek in everything, right? Hold on. No, even more. I'm sorry. Even more. According to Rav, it's only on that which the person himself was koveh as a mashke, right? That's according to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. The machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is this: the Rabbanan goes there on anything that's produced by the process, right? And so that would even include the beitza, but Rabbi Yehuda was only choshesh, his chash was much more limited. So therefore he was only gozer on, not even on any mashke, just on a mashke that was defined and kavua by the Adam. You understand? There was it is the greatest gap that you can have. The greatest gap you can have in the machlokas, the way that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are presenting the machlokas, that according to the Rabbanan, it includes anything just as defined by the process, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only that which was kavua as a mashke to this person. Okay. All right. Now I'm tacitly assuming, I'm gonna reveal it now, but up till now I've been tacitly assuming that Zaysim and Anovim are always a mashke. Okay? Let's assume that. So that's the next side. According to Shmuel, he held like this. Shmuel held somewhat of a middle ground in the whole Shita. That even the Rabbanon are not so machmir to include anything that is just from the process of excretion. Right?
We're inferring that?
I'm inferring that from something later that's hard to. This point is a little, you know, it's from the way Rashi learns later. It's a good assumption. Let's just leave it at that for now. Let's take the machlokas according to Shmuel. So what's the machlokas? Let's set up the positions again. So according to Shmuel, the Rabbanon hold what? That the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda agree by Zesim and Anavim, right? And they agree by Shar Peros. And they're only arguing two Sim Rabbanon. So what can we deduce right away? That nobody holds that there's a Gzeirah just Stam on the process. Because if there were a Gzeirah just Stam on the process, then the Rabbanon would disagree by Shar Peros, right? So we see now that everybody really holds that it would seem everybody holds it goes by a shame mashke. Now there's two ways you can formulate the gzera. You can either, there are two, I'd say, leanings that you can formulate the gzera by. Either in terms of the process alone, which could allow such a great inclusion that would even extend to the beta, or you go by there were goes on a certain kind of a product, right? So if you're gonna, so the second way to learn is that everybody agrees it's somewhat limited to the shame mashke, right? And you're gonna have to learn like this. The simplest way to learn is like this: that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it only goes by the shame mashke. Zeisim v'anavim, since they're objectively designated lamashkin, they have a shame mashke no matter what. So zeisim v'anavim that drip on Shabbos, that's going to be usher because that is per se a mashke, right? And everything else other than zeisim v'anavim are only a mashke if you're kavua l'shei mashke.
Okay.
What's that? Same things. It seems right now at this point it seems that we can let's assume shar peros is the same as tusim v'rimonim. That's not clear right now, but anything other than zeisim v'anavim is not an automatic mashke. Right. And so you wouldn't just say anything that drips from it is aser. Right. But the problem is the difficulty is the Rabbanan Shita. Because they're agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda in theory that it's not just defined by the process, right? Because they agree by Shar Peros that they're going to be mutter.
Well, according to Shmuel, how do you know that they agree by Shar Peros?
I'm assuming that Shmuel is because that's Shmuel's later statement. Modim Chacham Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peros.
Oh.
Right.
According to the
what?
According to
that's
according to
Rabbah,
you said?
Omar Rabbah, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, right.
Okay.
Oh, that's what you meant by Rabbah? Oh, okay. So according to that, so then the Rabbanan are difficult because they are agreeing by Shar Peros that it goes by that we don't say it's just from the process itself. So it's tied to some sort of a shame mashke. So why would Tusim Rimonim be usher no matter what? Doesn't seem anybody really holds Tusim Rimonim on the level of Zeisim v'Anavim, right? And they're both agreeing, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda are agreeing that it has to be centered around an idea of a mashke. So why should it be usher? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi tries to explain this problem. You see that, you can see from Rashi that he's aware of this problem. He's trying to address it. So Rashi says, Mestavra betusim v'rimonim pliki, right? De'ika de'bo'u lehu l'mashke. Some people do want it for a mashke. Hilkach mashvu lehu Rabbanan kizesim v'anavim. Interesting Rashi. See what Rashi is saying? Rabbi Yehuda Poligalayu of Bashar Peros Lake the Baalu Mashkin Hilkach Modu Rabbanan Bayam. So Rashi seems to say that you're going to have to learn, according to the Rabbanan, that the inclusion of Zaysin of Tusim Rimonim is like a secondary inclusion. It's not consistent. It's not a consistent from the Shem Mashkin. He's Moda. He's saying it can't just be included in a. It's not included in any in one theoretical sweep, because the Rabbanon really are agreeing that you need a shame mashke. But they're worried about tusim rimonim because it's similar to a mashke. right? So how are they, so, but still, how do they formulate the gzera? So how do they formulate the gzera? How would you formulate the gzera like that? So you'd have to say like this. You'd have to say like this. That the Rabbanan are learning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's on the Shem Mashke itself. But according to the Rabbanan, it's on something that has b'mino Shem Mashke. Something that contains with it, in its category, in its class, is a Shem Mashke. So anything that some people do consider a Mashke and some people don't, in other words, they had to expand the category from a Shem Mashke in fact to something that's Roy for a Shem Mashke. But it's still centered around the Mashke idea. Sometimes you have that. It's not an unusual kind of a gzera. Sometimes the Gemara has something like that. It's us or why? Because it has something bimino. In its min, it has a certain cat. No, it's the class of things that have mashke. It's not the class of mashke itself. You understand? It's one level expanded above the actuality of the mashke. It's like the substance. It's like the substratum of mashke. It's like that which has a mashke as a qualification. So tusim rimonim sometimes are used as a juice. But Zaysim Anovim are a mashke per se. So it would seem that's the way. But neither one of those would include Beitza. Neither one of those would include Beitza. Right? Okay. Okay. Just not to overload anything over here, but the reason why I'm learning it like this is we're gonna skip this next piece of Gemara. It's very interesting, but it's overly complicated for our purposes. The Gemara wants to try to bring a raya to what Rabbi Yehuda holds by Shabbos from a case of Tumah. So that's a difficulty. It's a difficulty. They are two different inyonim. How do you bring a raya from what he holds by Shabbos to what he would hold by from Tumah? Something can be a mashke for Tumah and not necessarily a mashke for Shabbos. So it's a difficult problem. But what comes out of it is that it seems from that Gemara, according to the way Rashi's learning, if you can show that something is a mashke by the Tumah, then it would have to have a Shem Mashke, and then it would necessarily be included in the Gzera. Because there goes there by the Shem Mashke. So the only way you bring a Raya from Tumah and Tara is if you're going to tell me that something by Tumah and Tara is a Shem of a Mashke, then it must have a Shem Mashke in general. And since we're saying that they're defining the Isser based on what has a Shem Mashke, mainly you can see that it would have to be Usser. So it would not be possible to say that something by Tumah is a mashke, but not in the gzera of mashke and shezavu. But other rishonim learn the raya differently, so it becomes a little bit complicated. But that's what I'm saying. If you learn according to Rashi, according to the way that Rashi learns that this next gemara of the on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph about the zaysim and anavim in terms of Tumah, I think it shows you that he's learning the whole thing is totally on the shem mashke. All right, but anyway, so it's a little bit complicated. But let's go next to the second half. So we've established that that the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda agree by Zaysim v'Anavim, and we've even shown that they argue by Tusim v'Rimonim. But how do we know that they agree also on the bottom half by Peros by Shar Peros?
This is all.
Okay, it's a very unclear raya. You see, Rashi himself says an unclear raya. You had to remember though from yesterday. See, the Rashi on Chacham Momrim. He says at the end, "V'im mishum brayse d'lo kamon d'v'shma'inan mina d'modim Chacham l'Rabbi Yehuda v'shar peros lav behedjesh mina la d'ikal emeim Rabbi Yehuda yikid v'archin Allah." This whole brayse doesn't really prove anything. That doesn't prove that much, because you could say it's Rabbi Yehuda. As a matter of fact, I don't even understand what the Gemara is talking about, quite frankly. But I guess they're saying, since it's Stam, it's Mustavar, that's the Rabbanan. But there's no real indication that it's the Rabbanan in any way.
Which price?
This next one. The one we're about to do.
Yeah,
Shmami, no, it's the Rabbanan. How'd that happen?
Yeah, Yeah, we had seen. We thought maybe he was just saying Shema Aminah, that the Rabbanan would have to say that.
But then I remember this Rashi over here. Rashi says it's not really a good riot because you could easily say it's Rabbi Yehuda. So I don't even know what kind of a value it has. But okay, I guess they found a Stam Brisa, so you can say. That's why it says that's why Rav Nachum says Mistaver, because he found these two Brises that neither one really you could prove anything from.
But if they disagreed, wouldn't there be like an opposing?
I guess that's what he's trying to say. The fact that it's just Stam and it doesn't say that anyone disagrees, it implies it's everybody. But it's not a perfect raya.
Doesn't really sound like that's what he's saying either. Doesn't say like Stam Tam, doesn't mention Stam.
I know. I don't really know.
They accept it.
Huh? They accept it? The psak is like that, yep.
They accept that it's proofs, yeah.
All right, let's see the case. Go ahead. Modu, so he says, okay, fine. Ashkechan, Rabbi Yehuda, the Modu, the Rabbanan, Bezeisim, Va'anovim. And so we found the case from before that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda agree, Bezeisim, Va'anovim. The Modu, Leila, Rabbi Yehuda, B'Shar Peros, Minolan. So how do you know that they agree by Shar Peros too? Right, we found Rabbi Yehuda Modu to them. Now, how do we know that they're Modu to Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya. Sochtin, Bepagin, Ubeprishin, Ubeuzdrin. Of a low brimonim. Yeah, I didn't look up my tirgum alaz, I have. But pagin are prunes, that's pretty clear, right?
Oh, yeah. Prunes. Prunes balaz.
That's right. You have to know, in laz, the shins are always s. Lahotzi meyan lishtos. But a prune probably means a plum. Right. Okay. Precian, that one I'm not sure about, but I think it's the quince. It's probably the quince.
Whatever laze
is. So a quince is like an apple, close to an apple, apple family, but like citrusy. It's like a citrusy apple. Uzdrin, I have no idea. You know what it is? Huh? Kerms.
Sorb apple?
Okay. The basic commonality is lav or chayu b'hachi. People don't usually juice them. Ein kan mishum dosh. Okay. So one second, we gotta get this clear. So the Gemara says, the Bryce says that what? The Bryce says you can actually squeeze these things. Right? You can actually squeeze these things. Of a low brimonim, but you cannot squeeze the pomegranate, right? They're chayu b'achi because people squeeze them, people juice them. V'shel beis menashi bar menachem hayu sochtim rimon brimonim, right? And this is the raya. This is the raya that people squeeze, that people juice rimonim. Of course, in Beis Menashe, Bar Menachem, that's what they would do. That's the Brisa. Right? Hayiragilim lischot rimon and b'chol. Doesn't mean on Shabbos, it means that was a drink that they would use. Alma ike desachet lu hilkach b'Shabbos aser. Okay, so what's the Brisa saying? The Brisa is saying you can squeeze shar peros, but not rimonim v'tusim. But not rimonim. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara is assuming that what? That this is the Rabbanon, being moded to Rabbi Yehuda. When we made the Rabbanon, he don't Rabbi Yehuda. So what kind of a raya is this? Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. V'tavinam Rabbi Yehuda. So let it be Rabbi Yehuda. Even if it's Rabbi Yehuda. Eimosh d'shamat leil Rabbi Yehuda yotzu me'atzman. It doesn't even really make sense to say that it's Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, I hear. Now I see a little bit what's going on here. In other words, even if you can say it's Rabbi Yehuda, it's not any Rabbi Yehuda that we know about. In other words, the Gemara's question is, I guess the Gemara's trying to work it out like this. If I have a prior Shita, then it makes sense to assign it to the prior Shita. Right? If there's a known prior Shita, and then there's a Stam Brisa that just parrots exactly what that known Shita was, then it makes sense to assume it's that Shita. but it's saying we don't know this from Rabbi Yehuda either.
I thought it was saying maybe this is Rabbi Yehuda.
Right. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but we don't have a sheet. We don't have a prior statement of Rabbi Yehuda about this. The only thing we have about Rabbi Yehuda are mashkin that came out by themselves. Right. This is actually talking about schita. You don't know from our Mishnah what Rabbi Yehuda would hold about schita. All you know from our Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda holds a certain way by things that dripped out by themselves, meaning by the gzeira, we know a certain thing about Rabbi Yehuda. But what do you know about Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the Maisa Schita itself? Right, that's what the Gemara says. Aim or deshamat like the Rabbi Yehuda yotzu me'atzman. All we ever heard about from Rabbi Yehuda was things that came out by themselves. Sochtin l'chatchila misha matlay. Did you ever hear Rabbi Yehuda talk about sochtin l'chatchila? Never. Ela ma yislach l'meimar. This is where it gets a little hard again. So what must you say? Ela ma yislach l'meimar. What must you say? Kevan d'lav b'nei schita ninu. Asvara. You have to say asvara. Since these things are not normally used for Jews, afilu l'chatchila. Then it's mutter, even l'chatchila, to squeeze them. Rashi, elamai yislach l'meimar l'Rabbi Yehuda. What must you say if you're going to attribute to Rabbi Yehuda? Kevan d'lav neschita, right? V'chi heichid l'Rabbi Yehuda shari l'chatchila mehay taimo, mehashd afilu teim rabbanon. So now you might as well say it's the rabbanon too. V'sharu lei mehay taimo. And now we'll say that according to them it's mutter for this very reason. Afilu teimer rabbanon kevan d'lav neschita nino afilu l'chatchila shari. Afilu l'chatchila. Shmamina rabbanon hishmamina. That's obviously an overstatement. You can't say, I can prove from this that it's Rabbi Yehuda, that it's rabbanon. And Rashi himself says you can't prove it. That's Rashi on Kuf Mem Gimel and Beis. Right? V'imishon b'rais until come on. That's the b'rais that we're just doing. D'shma'inan mineh demodim chacham Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros. Lav behed yishma'inan. It doesn't say that openly. You could still say it's Rabbi Yehuda. But I think the point is like this. In other words, it's saying that you need to make a deduction to make it fit into to Rabbi Yehuda. But that very same deduction would make it fit into the Rabbanan. So there's no reason to say that, in other words, a Stam Mishnah should go according to the Rabbanan unless it's clearly like a known Shita that we have. But this is not clearly like a known shita that we have, because you have to make a step in order to match it up to Rabbi Yehuda. So then just take it as a stam, and you can work it into the Rabbanan just like you can work it into the Rabbi Yehuda. So there's no reason to take it out of its stam and be koveya like Rabbi Yehuda, since it doesn't fit smoothly with him alone. Right? I think that's the best I can do over here. All right, so let's go a little further, okay? Because we need a little more information to get the full picture of what they really hold. Okay, so that's an interesting Gemara. So Gemara says like this: Amar of Nachman halacha kishel beis Menashe bar Menachem. Is that what we're up to? Yep. Right. Oh, it starts again. I'm sorry. Shel beis Menashe bar Menachem hayu sochtim b'rimonim. Amar of Nachman halacha kishel beis Menashe bar Menachem. Okay, it's got to get the cheshbon straight over here. So you had the brisa, and now Rav Nachman is commenting about this brisa, and he says, what did he say? He chose a funny way to say something. He said, the halacha is like the house of Menashe bar Menachem. Okay? So Rava says to Rav Nachman, Menashe bar Menachem tanehu? What do you mean the halacha is like Menashe bar Menachem? It's like saying the halacha is like Palm, the company that squeezes that makes pomegranate juice, right? And the same thing. Says they're Tanayim. They might be good businessmen, but they're not a Tana. So he says, V'chi temo halacha ki haitana disavar lo kishel Menashe bar Menachem. And even if you're going to tell me that that's not what he meant, obviously he didn't mean he's a Tana, but he meant the halacha is like that Tana who holds that you can bring a raya from Menashe bar Menachem. Umishum desavar ki Menashe bar Menachem halacha kimoso. And because he holds that what? Let's see Rashi. Menashe bar Menachem Tanu, bidmi avachi ihu polug lemeimer de b'shabbos aser to tame hilchos akavasa. He wasn't involved in the argument at all. V'halo huskar el divrei hatana l'raya da haitana hu tsover kivasa. He's only bringing this. He only mentioned lohuzgor ella ledivrei hatana leraya the haitana who sover kavase. That what? Who mentioned who? Right. In other words, in the original brisa, he was only brought up as a raya that the tana holds like that. That it is a juice, right? So maybe he meant like this, that we hold like that Tana, because Menashe does it. In other words, we agree with the Raya. We agree with the fact that this Tana is right, because in fact Menashe does squeeze Rimonim. So that shows that is a good Raya, that it's a juice, right? He says, but why is that a good raya? Right. In other words, halacha ki haitana de sovar lo kishel Menashe ben Menachem mishum de sovar kemash Menachem ben Menachem halacha kemoso. So in other words, we accept that evidence of Menashe ben Menachem that the rimonim are really juicing fruits. But why should that be? Menashe ben Menachem havi ruba d'alma. So he's one crazy guy. So because one guy squeezes Rimonim, that proves that it's a juice. Is he rove of the world? Does he establish the norms for the world? Right? The mishum ihu l'chude nashvi derech Rimonim l'schita? Because this guy squeezes things, we're going to say that derech schita. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's right. It's not. Namakayim kotsim bekerem, Rabbi Eliezer Omer kodesh, v'chamom einu mekadesh. So in other words, you're not allowed to mix mekayishes tefuah mishum kiloyim dizriyahu. Now, you're not allowed to mix things that are zroim in a kerem. You're not allowed to plant zroim in a kerem. Okay, so if you planted these kotsim, these thorn bushes, is that considered zroim? So the Chum say it's not, and Rabbi Eliezer says it is. So why is that considered Zroim? Shekein ba'aravia mekaimin kotzei sodos legamlein. Because in Arabia, they plant fields of kotzim to feed their camels. So they consider it a product. They consider it like a crop. So now, since they consider it a crop, so if you plant kotzim in your kerem, you're mixing a zroim crop with a kerem, and that's usher. So you see, but they're a minority in Arabia. They're a minority, and they can be koveya something objectively. Alma mishum chad makom da'achshavinu mashvinan luhu davar chashuv. So you see, we consider something davar chashuv because in a certain location they're machshavit. So the Gemara says, midi iria da Arabia asra. What's the comparison? Arabia is a region in the world. It's a country, it's a whatever you want to call it, it's a place. Hocha, Botladaita Yisakaladam, but this is one guy. Still one guy is you can say there's a norm in a community. You can say that there's a norm in a community, but one guy, even one guy. Ella, he's Botladaita Yitzakaladam. Hochachad Gavra Lechudehu, I mean even as a name. Right? Name la Botladaito. Elahainu time, Makid Rav Chista, Dam Rav Chista, Trad and Shesachton, Vinostan, Bemikva, Postlanas and Mikva, Bishinoi Mara. So it's really the reason why you can't squeeze the Rimonim is a different reason. It's not because they could be Koveya, an objective Shem Mashke on something, but it has to do with Rav Chista's din. What did Rav Chista say? He said, if you squeeze the tradin into a mikvah, it passes the mikvah b'shinui mara. That's the din of a mashke. If a mashke gets poured into a mikvah, it'll pass it if it changes the appearance of the mikvah. V'halav b'nei schita ninu, but it's not a mashke. Ela mayis lach l'meimar kevin d'ach shavinu havilu mashke. So you must say, but by that Rav Chista's din, by the mikveh is, that since you're machshavit, it makes you the mashke. Hachanami, kevan d'achshavinu, havelehu mashke. So too here, why can't you squeeze the rimonim? Because you're machshavit like a mashke. Not because it's objectively a mashke. Rashi, ki Rav Chista, afal gavdil alma lo choshev. It's not considered that way in general. Kevan da'achshav ihu havel didei mashke. Okay, but now everything sort of breaks down. At this point, everything sort of is breaking down into a certain anarchy over here, because we had before there was some sort of a division between the rimonim and shar peros, and that seemed to be like some objective differentiation, right? And that's why rimonim were usur and shar peros were mutter. But now that you're telling me that we don't care, even if you're one guy, it just goes by what you want to do. So what's the difference between rimonim and shar peros at this point? You can tell me that you have the power with what you want to do to make something a mashke, so what's the difference now? So that's what Rashi's trying to work out in the end, see? This is how Rav Nachman reads the Braisa from before. And also, why do we pick on B'nai Beis Menashe Bar Menachem? What do they have to do with anything? Right? If it's just the fact that you are machshav something, so we don't need a raya that some people are machshav different things as a fruit, as a juice. Okay, so here's where Rashi tries to work out this problem. It's like this. And this becomes a big machlokas in Rishonim. Halchi mefarish Rav Nachman L'Braisa D'Leil. So how do you read it? No, so why are you allowed to be sochet pagan preshin? If you are machshav of them as a mashke, why are you allowed to do it? Now, what's this braisa talking about? Is the braisa talking about where you machshav things as a mashke, or not machshav as a mashke? It's a stira. If you're going to learn it, that it's talking about where you want the juice, then what's the difference between pagan and remotum? And if you're going to tell me it's where you don't want the juice, and base menashe can't make it a juice, so what's the difference? So it should all be mutter. Right? In other words, if you machshav it, it should all be usher, and if you're not machshav it, it should all be mutter. So that's what Rashi's trying to figure out. So he says like this. Hochi mefarish Rav Nachman lebrayis nidalel sochtin bepagin uprishin lemate kapri. Rashi works out an interesting idea. Now, what's the case over there? You're squeezing it not for the juice. Lemate kapri means you want to concentrate the flavor of the fruit, so you're squeezing out the juice. I guess that works by prunes. Okay, v'lo letzorach hamashka. You'll squeeze the juice right into the garbage. You have no concern for you don't want the juice. You just want a more intense prune.
The purest.
And people do that. They dry the prunes. They dry the prunes. You can't wait for that prune to dry. You're just going to squeeze the juice out of it, right? It won't make it into a prune, but that's like when I was younger, I wanted to make rock candy, you know? But they say, now leave it for a week. I didn't have any patience for that. I figure I'll just turn on the fire. What's the difference, right? The difference is you get caramel when you turn on the fire. But you can't just boil out the water and turn it into rock candy. But so anyway, and that makes quite a mess. Anyway, so that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get rid of the liquid. So they're squeezing out the prunes to make a drier fruit. Lamate kapri. So that's what the Bryce is telling you. When you don't want the mashke, you're allowed to do it by certain fruits. But you're not allowed to do it by other fruits. Why?
What does lamate
mean? To sweeten.
It sweetens it?
I'm saying without the juice is a dilutive, you want the flesh of the fruit has most of the sugars, and you don't want it to be diluted with the liquid. I don't know. I don't know what kind of a fruit it is exactly. But anyway, that's the Gemara has different cases, like by the pickles. The guy wants to squeeze out the brine because it makes he doesn't want such a salty pickle, whatever the thing is. But the point is he wants to improve the fruit, not... In other words, whenever you squeeze something, they have to figure out what the product is, right? In Melechus Shabbos, you always got to define the product. So mashke could have two products. It could have the product of the mashke itself, or the fruit that you're squeezing, right? If you want to dry, if you want the, so over here, the case of the brisa, we are improving the fruit. And even in that case, that's what the brisa says, where it goes there by the rimonim, by the rimonim, right? Why? But of a low brimonim, a filo lematik. Why? Dishel base minashi hayusochtin b'chol l'tzorach mashke. Funny Gemara. Funny, interesting Rashi. That why can't you be sochet lematik harimon? Because there is a group of people who actually concentrated their efforts on drinking pomegranate juice. Okay. Hilkach b'Shabbos aser afilu lamatek hovul vikachad de ovid lohen l'shem mashke. So, but still, why? Who cares? Who cares? So, crazy guys over there. V'lo mishum de menashi ruba de alma. Not because their practice makes it an objective mashke. Elachayshinan ishoris le'lamatek. If we allow you to squeeze the rimonim to sweeten them, osi lemaaved l'shum mashke, you might also become crazy like them and decide you want to start squeezing your rimonim for mashke. V'kevan de'iu machshev le'havi mashke, and if you would do that, then it would really be an isser. U'machayev, avol bepagin leka lemechash. We're not worried if we let you squeeze the prunes, you're going to drink that juice. The ain adam osa oso lamashke. Nobody makes that into a mashke.
How come it matters that this menashia squeezes them?
They like have set down a precedent that no, it's their practice. So what do we say by base menashi? What do we really say by them? They're not crazy people. We're not saying they're crazy people. Right? Fokon dait de etzel kol adam doesn't mean that you're crazy. It means that your individual practice won't determine a norm. Okay? But Rashi is explaining, and this is in other sugyas also, it has similar cases like this, where we say sometimes people do something because they have an abundance of it. And if you had an abundance of it too, you would do the same thing. Okay, as another Gemara talks about the other Gemaras that have that type of an idea, that when you say batla daita etzel kol adam, there's two types of batla daita etzel kol adam. One is where the idea is just crazy. The other one is nobody does it because they don't have the same resources that you do. So it's not a practice around the world because nobody else has the resources that you do. But if everyone had the same resources as you do, it would make sense to do that too. So Beis Menashe, they had tons of, it was just a tremendous orchard of pomegranates. So they started getting a little creative with them. But if you had pomegranates like they did, you know, it's not like the juice of a pomegranate is not a good juice. It's just most people don't have the availability to make juices out of pomegranates. So he's saying, but nobody makes juices out of prunes because it's just ridiculous, because that's just crazy. So he's saying that where the mashke could really be good as a mashke, but it's just not something people catch on to because it's not apparent to them to do that because they don't have that many rimonim. We don't want to let them do it for any reason because then they might start doing it on a limited basis for juices. And then that would be asar and shabbos. But by the rimonim and the prishim, there's no chashash at all. So basically, that's the rational way. I'm sorry, by the pagan and the rimon and the prishim, there's no chashash at all. So that's the way Rashi's learning the gzeri, saying, in terms of an objective mashke, it's not. And if you want to squeeze it lematek asapri, it really is mutter, because it's not an objective mashke. But are we worried that you're going to be mach? And anything that you are machshev will be aser, right?
Even by the prunes,
Rashi learns. But are we worried to let you do it lematek because the next time you might do it, you might be machshev it? So only if there is a precedent that someone shows us that someone has been converted to this because of a rational reason that is not, that there is a rationale for this type of achshash. So Beis Menashe shows you that there's a rationale for this kind of achshash, because they weren't crazy people. But even people who have a lot of prunes, nobody ever makes prune juice. But since you see people who have a lot of Rimonim make Rimonim juice, so you see it's something that a person could maybe start out doing it lamadek and then say, hey, this stuff is pretty good. That's the way Rashi learns. But it comes out according to Rashi, you cannot squeeze anything for its juice.
And that's talking about lamadek.
So that's why he has to say the whole Braisa was talking lamadek. But most of the other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rif, the Rush, the Ramban, the Rashba, they all learn that on these things, these objects, it's Batla Daitei Zogolodom. And the whole Braisa is talking about Lamashkin. And there's a difference, even Lamashkin. You can't just be Machshev anything you want into a Mashke. You understand? So Lamaisa, they would hold, you could take a prune and squeeze it for its juice on Shabbos. Are you saw the Ramban? Who did I send you? The Rashba? So it's basically the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rif. They all learn that way. They all learn. The Rambam is Mashma that way. They all learn that what? That Beis Menashe is a preliminary requirement to even say that you can be machshavit. It has to be that there is some sort of a norm, even in a limited sense, in order to be machshav something into a mashke. But you can't just be machshav anything into a mashke that you want. So I know we have to try to define this machlokes, but that is a good question.
What?
The beets. Why does that Bryce say? In other words, the beets seems to be a support for Rashi, because it says that the mikvah will be puzzle when you squeeze these traden in there, because you're machshav of them as a mashke, which is mashma that anything you squeeze and you machshav is a mashke, right? It's a good question. I didn't really see too many people answer that question except on the riff, on the side of the riff. Someone wants to say they're more machmir over there, by mikvah, for whatever reason. The Bach takes up that question. Is it the Bach? Yeah, the Bach on the Rif takes up that question. He doesn't really, I don't know, it's not a great answer. He says, he says, "Mikom kom kevan dachshavinu havale mashke upasli lemikvos de din Torah velo mevi lehen the Rav Chista or the Ashkan dachshavinu milsa." Yeah, that's his kasha. He says he quotes that shita. So he says, "V'tzarach lomer the dafke b'mikva de psul do raisa mehani taima dachshavinu aval b'schitas shar peros b'shabbos deino asu davar Torah." Okay, he says like this. There's a fact that might surprise you. There's a fact that might surprise you, that he's using to answer this question, and that is that the Gemara and the Rambam, the Gemara conclude, the Gemara is a Shita, and the Rif Paskins and the Rambam Paskins, that Midor Raisa, how can you be Usur Midor Raisa? What is the only way to be Usur, to be over the Isur Shita? Midoraisa, there's only two things that you can be over the Isseschita for. You should be able to figure that out now. Only two things midoraisa that you'd be chayav schita: grapes and olives. Strange as that sounds, midoraisa, if you squeeze an orange for the juice, you're not over an Isser, according to the Rambam, according to the Gemara. You see the bottom on Kuf Mehem Aleph. Omar Rabbi Chia, Bar Ashi, Omar Rav. Dover Tovar, Eino Chayev Ella Al Drisas Zezeman of Bilvad. It's an interesting thing. Why you don't extrapolate like we normally do from a primary case to say similar things are also included in the Deraisa. I don't know. We have to think into that. But he wants to. That's what the Bachi wants to say. Saying since midoraisa you're only chayef for zaysin vanovim. We're not machmir on the achshave, but by the mikvah, you don't need any mashkin. You don't need zaysin vanovim dafka to pasul them. Any mashkin, so we're machmir over there. As you don't say a mikvah is only pasul with grape juice and olive oil. Anything as a mashkin is going to pasul a mikvah. But since on Shabbos you're only going to be chayef with zaysin vanovim anyway. We're not machmir with Rabbanon on an achshave of another mashke. But whatever it is, it's a good question. I have to think more into the answer. But Lamaskana comes out that according to Rashi, we'll see if we can think about this machlokas a little. Take a look at the Rashba. See if we can think about this machlokas a little bit more. But according to Rashi, anything you want to juice, you want to squeeze for the mashke is asur on Shabbos. Even if it's something that nobody uses for a mashke. And according to everybody else, it's butla daite zogolodom. And that's lemaisa, how we really hold. We hold like the other Rishonim. That's why they say you're allowed to squeeze a lemon into your tea. Because even though you're squeezing it for juice, nobody drinks lemon juice. The fact that you do something to it and make it into a lemonade, that's not called that it's really for its juice anymore. That's not considered the fruit. That doesn't make it into a fruit that you juice. That doesn't make its juice into an objective mashke, I should say. Right? It doesn't make its juice into an objective mashke. So if you want to squeeze, you want the lemon juice, it's not a problem. The only thing is the alcohol, you got to go into your tea, because otherwise you have, I think, a Nola problem maybe. But anyway, in terms of the issus shechita, we hold there's no issus shechita to squeeze a lemon right into your juice on Shabbos, right into your tea on Shabbos. Going to the bir halacha, he brings down all the shechitas and says, according to Rashi, it would be a problem. But I guess since, like the Bach is saying, since we don't hold that there's a chashas of the rice anyway, we're not machmir like Rashi in this case. Because normally you'd say you should be machmir on a question of the rice of Shabbos. Okay, so that's basically the sugya of your shechita. But this is just where it just gets started. And the next piece is where we really get into the big questions.